If you please turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, that's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 14. It is written, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor, and if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar, but you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. For I am pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its food, it is to be despised. You also say, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery, what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations." Now, if you'd all turn over to verse 1, just to give an introduction to the book of Malachi, it says in verse 1, "The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi." The oracle, or literally the burden of the word of the Lord. So it is a message from God, and when it speaks of an oracle, it usually speaks about judgment is involved. And he's speaking to the nation Israel through the prophet Malachi. Now, Malachi has a unique style, the only one in the Bible that uses dialogue in its expression. It is a dialogue between God and the people, and in the case tonight, we'll be looking at God and the priests, and we'll try to reflect that as we go through this passage. And there are two areas of sin in the priest's ministry that the Lord will confront them about. One involves actions, and the other attitudes. So if you please take your outline, and we'll begin with number one, the priests despise God's name, and that involves the actions that they take. And we would also see in verse 6 that God brings a couple comments to the priests. He says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect?" So he has two comments. First, the son honors his father, and a servant his master. And the tense here indicates that it is an expression that is that generally occurs, a truth to be admitted without contradiction, basically an axiom. It is assumed that sons will honor their fathers and servants their masters. Now, despite the fact that there's a lapse in the American culture in this regard, does not negate the axiom that God brings forth in his word. Then God goes on in this face-to-face with the priests, and he has two questions. He had the two comments, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then he follows that with two questions. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? And God is mentioned as a father in the Old Testament, at least a couple places, Deuteronomy 32:6 and Isaiah 63:6. And the idea of honor has a basic root meaning of being heavy, to weigh down. So it could be the idea of being honored, so that the hands of God and man, if they are powerful, are described as being honorable or powerful, using this word. It was also used of Absalom's hair as being heavy, because he had a lot of it, and it was thick. And it was also used in regard to honoring God, the Sabbath, Jerusalem, wisdom, and the sanctuary of the temple. And he said, if I am a master, and the word master here is in the plural, Adonim, which means masters, basically a plural of majesty, but also can allow for the triunity of God to be expressed, that he is referred to as being a master's. Where is my respect? And the idea of respect here is that of fear, terror, reverence, a sense of awe, and sometimes causes separation from the object that is that your person's being afraid of, or respect. And so sometimes there's a fear of man. The Canaanites were afraid of Israel when they crossed the Jordan because of what God had been doing in them and the miracles that he had been performing. It's also used in regard to the respect and honor that is due God. So it's a reverence and fear that we should have toward God. Then God goes on in verse 6 to give a charge. It says, the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests who despise my name. The idea of despise is to hold in contempt, disrespect. It's used of Esau when he gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew. He didn't have very much respect for that birthright when he gave it up for a meal. So it's also used of the Antichrist to God in Daniel chapter 11. So it's one of which there's a contempt and disrespect. And he's saying that the priests hold him in contempt. Now, then the priests follow with their question of their own. Huh? What? Who, me? What did I do? Does that sound familiar, parents? I don't see any real young ones. Hopefully you haven't used this on your parents recently. But I guess we better get back to the text. The question is, how have we despised your name? And God gives a clarification. You are presenting defiled food on my altar. And the idea of defiled is spoiled, stained, impure. And the altar is that which sacrifices were offered in the tabernacle and the temple. The priests have a follow-up question. And God says, but you say, how have we despised you? And then God gives a clarification to the priests. In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governors? Would they be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. So as we know from the Old Testament requirements for sacrifices, they were to be pure animals. They were not to be have any kind of blemish, but to be without any type of blemish or fault in them. And yet these priests were willing to take blind animals for sacrifice. They were willing to take the lame, the sick. And God says, isn't that evil? Why not offer it to your governors? Would he delight in that? Would he take pleasure? Would he favorably treat you? It's used of both God and man to describe a pleasure of an action or a person. So would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? And now you're going to lift up your head and ask me to grant you favor with these kind of sacrifices? If a human governor would not accept worthless gifts graciously, how could they expect a glorious God to answer their prayers when they offered up such gifts or sacrifices? And then God goes on and states to the priests, oh, that there were one among you that would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle the fire on my altar. So he's just pleading with them, why don't one of you just stop? Why don't want, if you're going to offer this type of sacrifice, just stop. Shut the gates. These are the doors to the altar from the outer court, so that you don't uselessly burn these sacrifices on my altar. Then he goes on speaking to the priests. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. These are in verses 10 and 11. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So he's saying that he will not accept these type of sacrifices. And He expresses his displeasure with the whole ministry of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood at the time of Malachi, and is speaking through Malachi. Now, the last few phrases in 11 about being his name would be great among the nations, and every place incense is going to be offered to my name. My name will be great among the nations. I believe the ultimate fulfillment of that will be in the millennial kingdom when Christ is on earth. And will be reigning visibly and bodily during that time period. Then God goes on. This time he doesn't even let them respond. In verses 12 through 14, he describes the priests dishonor God's name, which would be the B in your number 2, or the number 2, God's name, the priest despised God's name. That reflects his attitude. And then he goes on, and God's charge is seen in the first part of verse 12, which is, but you are profaning it. What's the profaning it? Well, he's been talking in verse 11 about his name. Rather than glorifying it, honoring it, they are profaning it. The idea is to pierce or wound or defile, to desecrate. It was used of ceremonial objects of worship that could be desecrated or profaned. The Sabbath, God's name, God's priests could be defiled, profaned. And it's also spoken of in chapter 2, verse 10 of Malachi as a breaking of the covenant. So God's priest dishonors his name. God charges them that they're profaning it. And then he gives a clarification in verses, the last part of verse 12 and in verse 13. He says, in that you say that the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, it is to be despised. You also say how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So that's in the manner, the attitude which they have in despising or dishonoring God's name. And they don't look favorably upon the ministry that they have with the people in offering up their sacrifices before God. They view it as being despised, the same word that's used in verse 6, and defiled, also used previously. And they say how tiresome it is. They're weary. It's a burden. They're bored with it, and thinking of it's more of a nuisance than a ministry. And you disdainfully sniff at it. Well, I guess I could have some sympathy there, because I don't know if I would enjoy smelling burned flesh all day, which would be what would be involved in burning sacrifice after sacrifice. But it was more the attitude behind it, that this was something that they weren't enjoying and didn't view it as valuable in their ministry to God before the people. And you're willing to accept things that accept sacrifices that were brought, that were robbed from somebody else and brought as a sacrifice, or what is lame or sick. Then God has a following question in the latter part of verse 13. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand? Says the Lord of hosts. And obviously the answer is he shouldn't and he isn't. And he goes on to say that there he has a curse in verse four, the first part of verse 14. But cursed, and it should be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows to sacrifice it, sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. So he substitutes. He's promised to bring the Lord a male in excellent condition without blemish, and he sacrifices or substitutes one and sacrifices a blemished animal instead, because he doesn't want to give up his good animal, his good sheep or cattle. And then God completes this section with a claim in the last part of verse 14. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name is feared among the nations. The nations here has the idea of the Gentiles in contrast to the nation Israel. And he will one day be feared by all the nations. So what kind of lessons can we learn from this passage in regard to the priests, the Levitical priests that were serving under the law of Moses? Well, I think we can learn that leaders are accountable and have a higher standard than the common people. I think that we can see that it is wrong to have a higher honor and respect for a human or earthly positions than we do heavenly positions, especially God. It's wrong to have more concern for our own physical well-being than for God's honor. That we may have more fear for earthly authority than God's authority. And did they recognize that the altar represents God? Whatever their reaction to and actions toward that altar was basically their actions to or toward God. And that actions and attitudes are important to God. And it's better to offer no sacrifice than bad sacrifices. And they should give God their best. And that God is a king, and his name is great and to be feared. But you may ask, this whole section's about Levitical priests. Priests under the Old Testament. We're no longer under the law. We don't offer up animal sacrifices. Are we, as believers, priests, and do we offer up sacrifices? I'm glad you asked, because we have a second sheet. And I'd like to go ahead and have this handed out, and we'll consider the fact of the New Testament application. So while he's handing that out, we'll turn to our first passage. And in the New Testament application, the New Testament believers are priests. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin there. First Peter chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 5 and 9. And we'll try to wait here until you have your sheets so we can follow along. We'll go back to get in context. We'll begin in verse 4. And coming to him as living stones, which have been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we, as believers in the New Testament, are priests, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We no longer offer up animal sacrifices because Christ paid the penalty for our sins once and for all and does not have to be sacrificed over and over again, and therefore we are no longer required to offer up animal sacrifices. And then if we go down to verse 9, says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we are a royal priesthood. We're one that has proclaimed the excellencies of God's name in praise, because he has called us out of darkness into his light. And then thirdly, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. We'll begin in verse 4, so we're not breaking in the middle of the sentence. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. So he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. So New Testament believers are priests. They are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And there is the sacrifices of the New Testament priests are listed in several passages, and we'll look at those. First of all, go back to 1 Peter 2, 5. Where it says that what we offer up is spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices. And then number 2, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we see another sacrifice that we're to offer up as believers. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So we're to offer up our bodies, ourselves, our entire being is represented by the body. Often we want this to be a one-time offering, and we're to be yielded from that point forward. But often we want to try to get off that altar and no longer serve and to be a sacrifice for God, one who is willing to serve Him. And he says that this is a reasonable sacrifice to give to God ourselves. And then if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 13, we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16. We'll see three different sacrifices that are expressed there. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifices of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, that give thanks to his name. And verse 16, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So we see that, first of all, we are to be willing to praise God, to give thanks to him for all that he is and has done and is doing and will continue to do for us. And this is a sacrifice that he is well pleased, and it's to be done continually, and it involves thanksgiving as well. And then secondly, we're to be willing to do good and share, so that we're doing well, we're doing good acts toward other people, believers and unbelievers, as it says in Galatians 6, that we're to do good to all men, especially to the household of faith, and that we're to be willing to share, to have fellowship with others and in providing for their needs. And then lastly, in Philippians chapter 4, we see another sacrifice that God is pleased with. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Let's begin in verse 15 to get the context here. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance and am amply supplied, having received from Aphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So when we give and support missionaries and vocational ministers of the gospel, that these are sacrifices that God is well-pleased. I'd like to take the remaining minutes that we have and consider some personal applications in regard to both the Malachi passage and also the verses that we've considered in regard to our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. First, do we respect and honor God, not only in our corporate worship, our services on Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday school class, but in our daily lives, in our family, our work situations, as we have contact with our neighbors. And we need to keep in mind that every act and attitude is an opportunity for worship to glorify God. And do we take these opportunities? Do we have the respect and honor for God that we ought to have? Also, do we despise God's name by our actions and attitudes? When people observe us, do they think more highly of God or less highly of God because of the way we conduct ourselves? When alone or with others, do we, in our attitudes and actions, despise or honor God? Do we present defiled food upon God's altar? And obviously, we don't have a physical altar on earth like they did in the tabernacle or temple. The altar that we worship is in heaven, one that's not made with hands, the one Jesus, our high priest, has ascended to and is ministering continually on our behalf. Do we, in regard to our sacrifices, offer inferior sacrifices? Do we give God the leftovers, whether it's time or money or possessions or interaction with others? Are we half-hearted in the way we offer up these sacrifices that have been mentioned? Do we fear or respect man more than God? Are our bosses, our spouses, our neighbors, our policemen, government officials, judges, do we have higher respect for them than we do God? Will God be pleased with us in what we do, what we say, and how we think? Will he receive us kindly? Will we entreat God's favor to be gracious to us when we deliberately disobey him? Whether they're sins of commission, doing the things we ought not to do, or sins of omission, failing to do what we should do? Will we offer our sacrifices in vain? All of us will face the Bema in the future, in which all of our works will be judged, and those that are good will remain, and those that aren't will be burned. Will our sacrifices at that point be burned, or will they survive and be rewarded? Do we really acknowledge and recognize that God's name is great, that he is a great person, and that he is worthy of our praise? Do we dishonor or profane God's name? Do we view God's altar as defiled and as these spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer as something that we just have to endure? Do we tire of offering these spiritual sacrifices to God? Do we sniff at them, as it was referred to in Malachi, thinking, well, if I have to, I will. We do it grudgingly. Or do we do it eagerly, desiring to please him? God is a great God, and he is to be feared. Another question we can ask ourselves, do we have more concern for our physical well-being than for God's honor? Do we recognize that both our actions and attitudes are important to God? Do we consider that it is better not to sacrifice than offer bad sacrifices? Will we give God our best? Are we always giving thanks? It says, in all things, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5. How often do we find ourselves unthankful in situations that we encounter daily? Are we continually praising God and proclaiming the excellencies of his name, or are we silent? Do we continually do good and share with those in need within our body and within other believers and also our neighbors and those in whom we come in contact? Do we continually yield our bodies as a sacrifice to God, or do we want to jump off that altar and determine what we want to do, not what God wants to do? It's my will be done, not yours, rather than your will be done, not mine. do we grow weary in offering these sacrifices and serving God? And are we willing to give to missionaries and vocational ministries and ministers and their support? So I think there is much to consider, and I hope that you take to heart what we've covered tonight and learned and take heed to the message that Malachi gave to the Levitical priests and its applications for us, as well as the New Testament passages that we've considered in regard to offering sacrifices to God and to please Him and to serve Him. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to study your word. We desire not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers. And that we would truly hallow and honor your name and not despise and dishonor it. That we would be sensitive to the prompting of your spirit, that we would not grieve him, committing sins of omission, refusing to do what you lead us to do, and that we would confess and repent those sins of commission that we do, grieving the Holy Spirit in those actions. That you would enable us to be the priests that you would have us to be faithful in offering these sacrifices that you have commanded us to give, and that we would truly respect and honor you, and that we would not fear man above you. And we ask you to direct our steps this week as we acknowledge you in our ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.